There we got some mics, though. Don't have Josh here off of my technical stuff today, Scotty.
I know.
Anyway, Scotty Gribben, one of our top service advisors here at Mel. I'm forward to hanging out with us today. We got some exciting stuff. We got a gentleman from Dale from BG Products. Dale, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be here with you guys.
And you can see he's got some neat stuff standing in front of you. I got the privilege of going out to BG to talk to a bunch of their sales reps this week, and it was really fun. To hear their stories, hear the questions and all the stuff that went in. But I watched Dale do some demonstrations that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some of those here today. But as always, it's a call-in show, 316-462-3673. And anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, or batteries, or whatever, the phone is down for just a little bit. I got in here this morning and it's doing an update. Can you believe that? So anyway, Scotty, for each and every caller, can you rattle everything off that's in that package we give to everybody for calling in?
Absolutely. We got oil change, right? We got the oil change first. We have nitrogen for your tires.
Yep.
That's another big one. We have a BG additive with MOA, and? I believe. I believe it's CF5.
CF5 and?
Oh, what's the other one?
44K.
44K. Dang it. I should have
known. That's the two cans we give away for each and every caller, yes.
Yep.
We'll have Dale share a little more time if we have time about those two products
too. Right. Absolutely. And then we also have the multi-point inspection, which is probably the most valuable thing in that entire package.
Agree.
Yep. And then we have $10 to Mel's Diner, which Brandon makes excellent food and beverages and stuff like that.
It's not too bad, or there is.
No, it's not too bad, man.
Yeah, anyway. So anyway, every caller, and hang tight here. I'm checking on the phone, and it's getting close to saying the update's done. So bear with me as that update gets going here and everything else, too. Sorry about that. But probably not going to want to call in for a little bit so we can talk about what's going on here with BG. But again, I got the privilege of going out and talking about your sales rep this week. And I saw a demonstration happen with MOA, motor oil added. Been using it for years. It's a great product. But I learned something. You learn something every day in this business.
Yep.
And here's what I thought MOA did. And Dale's going to say some more about it. MOA... So here's your 5,000-mile interval of your oil change, okay? And you start here at 0 miles, and it works this way. Now the oil starts to basically deteriorate. MOA keeps that oil life protection constant across that whole 5,000 miles. But Dale's going to show us some other things with that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Dale, again, thanks for hanging out with us on this Saturday. Love to have you in here.
Pleasure.
Listen to you speak on Wednesday or Tuesday. I can't remember what day it was, and my days running through me and everything else like that. But Dale, tell our listeners and watchers about yourself.
Sure. So my name's Dale Smith, and thanks for having me, Phil. This is a pleasure. I feel at home in your store. There's one thing, folks, that I just enjoy. When I come to Mel Hamilton Ford, I like to sit out on the sofa and just watch things go by. I just really feel comfortable in this environment. And when Phil says, come down and experience the difference, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
There really is. So folks, today, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. So, humble beginnings. I learned how to build engines in a machine shop long before I ever was able to take them out of an automobile. So, if you can imagine that. And then when I got into being a technician professionally, I started as a lube on the lube rack, and then I worked my way up. Now, I did have that engine building under my belt, so that made it a little easier. But for the most part, that's how I got started in automotive, was building engines, on the farm, working on tractors, whatever the case was early on, young Dale Smith, right?
Yeah.
Now the white hair's there. So, and then it progressed, and it stemmed into all rungs of management, becoming a director of fixed operations for very large Ford Lincoln stores and Mercury when we had them until 2009, right?
Yeah.
And then it just has sprang forward. So one thing that changed my mind was, as a technician, I had to be able to say, I endorse this. I couldn't let a guest come in and purchase something from us and it not do what we promised. So I was like, well, you know what, Mr. BG guy, I'm not too sure that I need to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was kind of the same way.
Yeah.
Snake oil.
Snake oil, man.
Amen. But it's not snake oil at BG. It's Lizard Lube. It's way better.
Okay. All right.
So then I just started getting my scan tool data out, and I was like, you know what? If this guy, he seems like an honest dude, so let's go ahead and give him a chance. So I started to break out IDS, and I'm going to take him to task. We're going to do a fuel service. I'm going to see if the car really responds better after we do the service, because you know I just thought if it needed to be, it would be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ford or anybody else didn't build the bad car. It's the additives that make the difference, and it's the fluids that go old, and then it's the byproduct that's left behind. You can't change that fact.
Right.
Okay. Unless you're using BG products. And so the results were resounding. You know, whether it was a compression test before and after we used the products, doing a fuel service and looking at various PID data, just areas of the car that I could say, yes, it improved it for the customer, and I would put my name on it and sign my name to that car because I got the recheck if it came back, right? And I didn't want any of that,
right?
I wanted the customer satisfied. As a matter of fact, you know, Ford Motor Company judged us on Fix It Right the first time, right? So we had to make sure we were doing the best job that we could for our customers. And they're our guests, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, it turned my mind around. And I liked the product so much, I went to work for them.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It just didn't let me down.
Yeah.
Well, and my story is back in the mid 80s is when they came out with port fuel injection.
Yeah.
And it didn't take very long for the end of those injectors to plug up from the carbon because where the design was and everything else too. And I would actually take a 44K can. Okay. Scotty, just for an example. And we used to have when we charge AC systems, AC cans were about the same size. Mm-hmm. We had this little clamp thing to come around and pierce a hole in it. And we'd have our hose on there and go in and charge the AC. Well, to clean these injectors with 44, I'm holding MOA in my hand, but to clean the injectors.
There you go.
Okay. And this product has changed drastically since the 80s, how much better it is from what it was back in the 80s.
Absolutely.
But I would disable the fuel pump and I would take my same AC line that I would hook up to charge the AC, and it was the same fitting to check the fuel pressure. So I would plug off the return line, shut off the fuel pump, puncture this can in there and start that car up and shove that through there. Stink, smoke, everything like that. But guess what?
Injectors
it fixed it. The injectors are clean again. So that's the problem. Is like you said, nobody's building a bad car.
Right.
It's everything we put in there from the air and fuel mixture intake that all that carbon starts. And people don't realize it's a slow thing that just gradually goes away. Power, performance, and everything else like that. And I still think the biggest change of a lot of this, and Josh and I have talked about this on the shows, and you're back in, you know, we're pretty close on the eight. I tell you, wrenching on my race car back there, just like it was last night, is more fun to me than anything in this whole automobile world.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, at 60, 70,000 miles, we're overhauling motors.
Yeah.
We're doing valve jobs. We're boring blocks, doing all that kind of stuff. Today,
60 to 70, man, I've seen some even earlier than that.
Yeah. So now today, come on. Today you tear an engine apart with 120,000 miles on it, you can still see the cross hatches in the cylinders.
Yeah. Yes.
So things have lasted longer. We didn't think about changing these fluids because they wear out just like your engine oil does.
They do.
Everybody knows to change your oil, but not all these other products we do either.
Absolutely.
From that part. So anyway, Dale, sorry to steal your thunder there.
No, you're absolutely okay.
We were at BG on Thursday last week.
Yes.
And it's probably my fourth or fifth time being there in the 12 years I've been here. But every single time I go into that place, it is a state-of-the-art science lab. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and we didn't get to go in the lab this time, but in previous times, one of the coolest things you guys have is a microscope that has to be mounted a specific way because of like the spinning of the earth.
Yes.
And it's incredible.
It's on a giant granite rock.
Yes.
Just so it doesn't move.
Yes. It's insane. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I go to play, you know, BG, and I see all of the, there's so much R&D that goes into these things. We're not just putting these in front of a customer because it's a magic bottle.
Right.
So you guys actually have years of scientific data.
And we got to change consistently, right? Yeah. So as Ford Motor Company keeps building something neater and faster and prettier, you know, that's the game, right? We have to be able to satisfy the guests' needs when they come in. So they've done a fantastic job. You know, they sip fuel. They're rocket ships and they look wonderful.
Yeah.
That's their job, right?
Right.
But this is where it really comes in to help maintain them and make sure that the good job is done. I too, when I saw that lab for the first time, folks, I can't even express how I felt about it. Because, you know, most people think we're maybe mixing this in the bathtub in the backyard.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And that's just farthest from the truth.
Right.
We have so many ISO certifications to make sure that we're buying any of the additive structure or base product from the best of the best of the best. And then we blend it to make sure that everything that's on your shelf can take care of everything from current models all the way back to a Model T.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a very, very interesting career, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And it's been very fun. But BG's really helped pave the way for me to better maintain automobiles.
Yeah. And then my favorite part, it's an international company now.
Yes.
But it's from here.
It started here.
100% American made.
Yeah.
And we're in over 79 countries now.
Right. But it started in Wichita, did it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the coolest part.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And then BG stands for, you know what it stands for?
Bearing Grease. Get off.
Is it Bearing Grease?
You know, there's so many thought processes.
Bearings and gears.
Oh my God.
So yeah. So just like the can. You know, in the logo in that yellow part, there's a bearing and a gear.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's cool. You know, but I've talked to some of the founders while they were still alive.
Yeah.
And there's several things that it stands for. And it's by the grace of God, we've been in business for as long as we have. That was one. Bearings and gears. Some people have said, well, you know what? You used to buy products from Best Grease right here in Wichita, Kansas. So there's a lot of different things out there. So there's a lot of them. I like to say, be good to your car.
Oh, that's right? Cool.
So that's the true. Best way we can do it, right?
That's true. Like I said, these cars are running so much longer, and we have to refocus on if we want to drive them as long as we say we're going to, if we want to protect our investment as much as we want to and not have breakdowns. It's still like that remember the old Fram commercial years ago?
Yes.
Pay me now or pay me later.
That's it.
So BG products is a pay me now kind of a thing, but it's a little bit smaller bill than it would be if you wait till later when it's this big.
Yeah.
From that part.
But the other thing is like working with you now for 12 years, I always learn from you that Ford doesn't necessarily care about the maintenance of the vehicle. They just want to sell you a new one whenever this one breaks down and wears out.
Okay. So number one thing they make their most money is selling cars. You know what the number two thing is?
Selling parts. Okay.
So that's when these maintenance schedules, when you look at them, I say this, that is the minimum,
bare minimum
that you have to do to that car.
Yes. When
Ford maintains it. They care about that powertrain warning to get done at 60,000 miles and they could care less after that done. Because it's your baby.
It's your baby.
And what these products are going to do is prolong that life and everything else too.
Right. Yes.
And it's still back to the same basic theory. Dale and I were talking about this morning when we come in here. They're still sucking air. They're still sucking dirty air. Sucking fuel. And we're still dealing with fuel that's so terrible out there today.
Yeah.
From that part. And all that does is build sludge, builds carbon, builds all kinds of wear materials and stuff like that. And if you want to just drive your car and maintain it like you want to and get by, you can. But if you're going to want to maintain your investment stuff, there's nowhere better than putting these products in your seat.
Absolutely.
I got to give one more testament.
Yeah.
Okay. My race car.
Okay.
And I'm running a couple different, same motor, but a couple different motors. And I had an older motor and I had a newer motor. We brought them out on the dyno and I really thought I was going to sell the older motor. And, of course, I change the oil more often than you should probably because that's just my theory on maintenance and stuff.
Yes.
We put both those motors on the car, both cars on the dyno, the old motor that had about another 60 races on it than the newer motor.
Wow.
3 horsepower difference. Okay. So now that we come back and we start talking about different things and we want to do the EPR, which is putting it in the oil to clean it up and everything. Mm-hmm. So I did a compression check to start with. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the compression was all over the board from anywhere from 120 to 150, all over the board. Okay. So we threw in the EPR in the engine, ran it in for the 30 minutes and pulled the plug. And of course, that stuff smells god awful as it comes out of there. But the oil came out perfectly clean. I'm thinking, okay, this didn't do nothing for me whatsoever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did a compression check. All 8 cylinders were dead even. Mm-hmm. They brought them all back up to speed. Even though it didn't look, I thought we'd see black coming out of that. I think it's because we maintained the engine like we needed to.
Yes.
But there's still that carbon built up around those rings that it unfroze.
Yes. That's it.
And brought that compression back.
That's mm-hmm. it. You know, from 94, we had a big old meaty piston ring, right? And that those were some good pickups. You know, 94, we had some really good pickups. But that ring was so stout, we could break that ring clean the ring land. You remember that?
I used to do that. I used to break them in half.
Yeah.
Then I'd go inside the groove of the piston and clean all that carbon out of there when I put new piston rings on.
They're that stout, right?
Yeah.
Now fast forward to 14.
There you go. That's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, see this? Look at how they're low friction rings that go around that cylinder now. Now can you break them? Sure, you can break them.
You can, but
you can see. Let me have that one more.
So here's the 94.
Here's this one. It just takes so much to push. And
94
this one here's
five
just
liter
like this.
Mm-hmm. 94 5 liter Ford. 2014.
Yeah, Scotty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Now, fast forward to gasoline direct injection. And we have a lot smaller displacement, right?
Right.
So there's your control ring for oil.
Yeah. There you go.
And here's your compression rings.
Yeah.
They're paper thin, man.
Yeah. Paper thin. A little bit of, I'm going to get off the screen here and get the right way. You can see that.
It's tiny.
Paper thin, little bitty things. So now can you see it, how easy it is to get carbon built up behind there? And then once you get that carbon built behind her, this ring, instead of going out here sealing like it needs to, it's stuck. It can't move.
Yeah. So okay. That's what it was doing for you. It was just making sure that they could travel. And, you know, I'm sure, Phil, when you first put in rings into the car, you know, they got to get burnished in, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, if you build them, you know that there is that break-in period. They have to seat back in there. And if you folks ever see where it doesn't on one cylinder, mm-hmm. but it's way better than when we started and after, the biggest thing is they need to reburnish, and they'll come back out flat. Most customers, when they would come in, they say, you know what, Dale? Here's what's going on with my car. Pull up to the stoplight, and this thing just has this vibration, and it's coming from the steering wheel. Well, that was a compression difference along the cylinder. Right. So when Ford sent me to school for noise, vibration, and harshness, we learned about frequency. Mm-hmm. And the different frequency from the different compressions was causing this rattle. Mm-hmm. We did the EPR service and poured the MOA in afterwards, and the customer was ecstatically happy.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just helped so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, drastically. Okay, so we got a couple tests we want to do here.
Come on, let's get to the science, man.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I was out there on this weekend, walked into the training and saw this go down and stuff, and I knew what MOA did, but I guess I didn't know everything that MOA did. So we're going to do a demonstration with a bearing pull here on some torque. It's going to make some noise, so hold your ears here in this little bit, but that's the only way I know to do it. And then we're also going to do a acid test, and that's the part that I learned about acid in your oil, leaving that in there so long, guess what? It just starts burning this acid and watches what it does.
Right.
We're going to show some demonstrations on what that does with MOA. And this is the part that I learned. So which one's first, the bearing or?
Let's do the acid.
Okay, we'll do the acid first.
So Dale, explain what's happening here. Where's the acid come from?
Yeah. So acid, over time, anything that's a petroleum-based product, it's going to build sulfuric acid. It'll start to build sulfurous acid as well as nitrous acid. And these are two things that just happen from a petroleum-based product as it ages and gets old. There's heat, there's friction, there's a lot of different factors that are sitting there chewing on that oil. And I don't know about you, but cars have a lot higher RPM these days, right?
Yeah.
And we've gone away from cam bearings. The cam bearing is the journal in the head. So if that goes bad, we need a cylinder head.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure these things are protected and the guest can keep driving trouble-free and have fun with their car. Okay.
Well, so, I think the other thing is, not to interrupt you, sorry.
You're good.
Is the oil passages we have today are 1/10 the size of what we had before.
Yes.
So it doesn't take very much sludge or carbon or whatever to partially plug it or completely plug it and starve that part of the engine from oil.
Yes. We had lifters back in the day that you could, you know, shove a screen door through. Now that hydraulic lash adjuster, you couldn't get a ballpoint pin where the oil galley sits there and feeds it so that it pumps up and has pressure in there. So absolutely, Phil, you're spot on. And the things that I see out there is when things go a little bit too far on their oil changes, it does build up. Is it going to happen overnight? No. But over time it does, just like your car. Your car is so superly maintained. That's why you didn't see, you know, black oil come out, but you still got an improvement because of the stuff that is stuck in there that you can't see and can't get out.
Yeah.
And
today's going to be the real true test because we're headed to the racetrack to practice today.
Nice. Nice. So what I'm going to do is paint a picture. When it comes to empirical data, folks ask for it. If you come in and you speak to Scotty when he's writing you up and taking good care of you, please ask for it. Say, look, Scotty, I need the proof. And we'll make sure you guys have the empirical data of what it is, how it does it. And then that, to me, really helps me as my decision to purchase, right?
Right.
I mean, that wallet's a little tight, but I'm telling you, I'll open it up if there's a good reason to spend it. I have to. I'd rather not have the downtime and have to rent a car, so why not have it? And it comes with lifetime protection. So folks, if the mileage is correct and you're in the two different windows for mileage, now you got protection for life.
Absolutely. Okay?
And that really helps. I don't care who I am or who most people are when it comes to a $6,000 discount if they start early.
Yeah.
Right.
And that,
on the bill.
And this is a real deal. I actually had a customer in that particular situation. Transmission ends up going out.
Yes.
Needs a transmission. They flush their transmission fluid every 30,000 miles for over a year and a half. And they got a huge chunk of what it would normally cost them. So that protection program that comes with BG products is phenomenal to a customer.
And it's, folks, it's not lifetime like is in 150,000 miles. It's until that car hits the salvage yard.
Right.
And it has better benefit when you trade it in. Mm-hmm. So there's some good things. Anyway. So I'm going to paint a picture here with our MOA. So folks, I got to take my wedding ring off because
I don't want to do that.
This is real. So Scotty, if I can, I'm going to have you hold the acid.
Okay, this is acid, like really
this
bad
is stuff. This is sulfuric acid.
And that's what gets made in this with the petroleum base.
Yes, it's a derivative of sulfuric acid and nitric acid. So, folks, this is real stuff. So we've already burnt through our paper towel, and it'll keep going as we talk here. But I'm going to coat my hands in MOA.
Okay.
Because I know if I've got that barrier of MOA in there, I'm protected, and I'm going to be...
Okay, so we see the hole there. Can they see that hole? Really? Can I bring that up here? Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
That's what, so we know it's active, I guess what you want to say. It's burned a hole in that paper towel pretty quick. Yes.
Yep. So we can just accelerate it just a little bit by pulling on it. But folks, it's just going to eat through that towel and continue to eat. So I'm going to put this in a safe place so we don't burn Phil's office down.
That's all right.
Probably be the first time. You see how messy it is in here? Are you kidding me? It probably needs to happen anyway.
Hey, hang on.
That is a sign of somebody that's working hard.
No kidding, right?
Okay, so I'm just going to coat my hands with MOA.
Okay.
And
that's the MOA here that you can show everybody, the can MOA, the MOA that he threw on his hands. Okay.
Okay.
Coating them up.
I'm coating them up.
Yeah, they can see that real nice. Okay.
Okay, good.
Front and back.
Front and back. So I'm going to put a little pool here because I don't want to have a scar, right?
Chicks dig scars, man.
Yeah, well, I've heard that. Okay, so Scotty, if you would pick that bottle up, and we're going to put about 4 or 5 drops of acid right in that pool. Perfect.
Oh.
Perfect. Hey, there's 5. Okay, so folks, the whole thing that we're trying to do is make sure that the oil keeps doing its job. Did you all know that 15% of every bottle of engine oil is additive structure?
Yeah.
It's base oil on the bottom.
Okay.
15% is the number. So 15% of that is like patch and paint. It makes it what it ain't. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's there to protect the oil so it does its job during the full interval that you guys would change the oil at. Okay. So like you, Phil, I like to change my oil early because I like to drive my cars like I stole them. And I don't want them breaking. Right? Okay. So one thing that we do is we make sure that we have the additive structure in there and it complements the oil. There's not bad oil really out there anymore.
Well, no, you go back to that. I remember back in my day, we're straightening with my dad in the repair shop back in the...
When dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yeah, I get it. But we had, at that time, I remember coming out with it where there were CCA rated oils.
Yeah.
And we're all the way now, each letter is an improvement. We're all the way to SJs, I think, is the last time I knew. That's how much these oils are improved.
Yes.
And Dale, here's the problem I got with that. Everybody then thinks the oil's better. So let's extend the life of that maintenance center. That doesn't work.
Right.
The filters can't change all that stuff. The engine's still development. We're running the engines harder than we were. That's why the oil's better.
The RPM
doesn't
higher?
Extend the life. Like going to full synthetic oil, I'd be thinking, oh, now I can go 20,000 miles on oil change. No, you can't. It just better protects.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Look at that. Still hasn't done nothing to his hand.
No. Do you guys smell that?
A little bit.
Oh, my gosh. It's cooking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fun fact. Did you know that full synthetic oil will build what's called trash in the laboratory? It builds trash at a 50% rate higher once it reaches its interval of I've done my job, and I'm going to go lay in the pan now. So the additive structure falls out of the oil and goes to the bottom. But it happens at a 50% rate higher than conventional oil does. So
hold on, back there. Let's give that stat one more time.
Yeah.
I got to get that down. Okay, so you're saying full synthetic.
I smell burning.
You smell the burning.
That's my good.
Yep.
Nothing to his hands.
It's not burning my hands.
And who wouldn't want to put that in her oil to help protect her engine now?
Yeah. So now I've wiped that off, and I just made sure that it was right there. And now it's burning the towel. Now it's burning the towel. Okay. So no hocus pocus. This is a real deal, and we're making sure.
You get some panty wash something to clean it.
I do.
Good. So you're saying full synthetics.
Yes.
One more time.
Once they reach their lifespan.
Okay.
And the additive structure.
Now I'm understanding what you're saying.
Yep. So once they reach their lifespan, because, you know, when they first came out, I thought, well, I got to get me some. Then I don't have to change my oil.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. So they still have a lifetime. They still do their job, but we need to get them back out of there to make sure that deposits don't form. So conventional oil was a good oil, but we did it at 3,000 miles, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Now we have a semi-synthetic version, right? Mm-hmm. We pumped it up to 5,000 miles. Yep. Where are we at now, guys?
And let me tell you how hard that was for me to go to 5,000 miles.
Woo! $20 says you still change it early on this race car anyway.
Well, just like, for example, on the valve cover of that motor from, guys, it's a what we call a crate GM motor. Right on the valve cover, it says change it every 4 to 5 nights. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
4 to 5 nights on an engine that's wrapping out at 6,800 RPM and up and down and back and forth. That stuff, as soon as that's the first thing we get back in the shop, we come back from a racetrack, the car goes in the air, and that's the first thing gets pulled. Every fluid comes out of that car. Every race.
Yeah. Every race.
I don't wait 4 to 5 nights. No way.
Wow.
I mean, that motor's 10 grand.
Yeah.
That's just the motor. Everything else that goes on top of that thing. So I'm going to protect my 10 grand. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes.
But what we have, I will tell you, in the racing application, Blumo has got me on a different additive package than MOA, a 116, which we can get in that for 1.2 or whatever from that part because of the oil. I have to run a different type of oil for that higher PM, like I'm running like that all the time and stuff too. Different deal, but the compression restore is still the best thing in the world from that part.
Yeah. And that 116 is a great product. So I used it in my Harleys because it's an oil additive that really does a great job, but it's made for a wet clutch environment. So motorcycles, like one of your sales professionals here, Rob, we were talking about that, and he says, well, yeah, I know you got MOA for the cars, but the clutches are in that oil too. And so there's a whole different product. It just depends on what the needs of the guest is, and then we can make sure we provide those things.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, so pretty cool test there.
Yeah.
And that's the part of MOA I didn't know. For those of you just tuning in.
So I could still smell it burning.
It's burning. Like,
I thought, and remember, your oils, no matter what oils you're running or whatever, is making that acid inside your engine. So that's what MOA is doing is diluting that, or basically getting rid of it.
Right.
But MOA, say this is your 5,000-mile interval of an oil change. Your oil starts here at 20, at 0 miles and goes to 5,000. At about 2,500, it starts breaking down. And when you get your 5,000, you're about here. MOA keeps that additive package up there for that full 5,000 miles, is what I thought it did. And which it does. I didn't know about that acid being developed inside an engine.
Yep. It just keeps it at bay because
now you're making me where, for example, if an engine, we based on hours, like Jake's, my son's driving a diesel and Ford says change it every 200 hours.
Yes.
I told him, set it at 100, I would change it. Now you're making me think I need to go to 75 hours to change it to get that acid out of there.
Well,
but again, putting MOA in, there's a different ballgame.
Phil, we got you covered. When it comes to that,
diesel's got it too. I get it.
You all have this right in your parts department for the guests, right?
So
this is that conditioner instead of MOA. This is fortified.
So this is for your diesel trucks.
There it is.
There you go.
That we also have the same thing as the MOA for gasoline. This is for the diesel. That's the thing I love about BG. You got stuff for gas and diesel, and you need to sit down with Scotty and go through what your package would be with what kind of vehicle you're driving and stuff too. Yeah.
So here's the thing with the diesel stuff. I have seen probably the most amazing thing with that product. Everybody knows when they have a diesel and they go to get their oil change, it doesn't matter. You drive away from that oil change and your oil is black.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
Right.
You literally just got an oil change and you start up that truck.
Yes.
And you pull out. If you literally are pulling out, you pull over on the side of the road and you drain that oil, it is black.
It is.
I have seen a person use that product and every oil change an oil every 5,000 miles. And I kid you not, we pull the drain plug and that oil is crystal clear.
Yeah.
Never happens on a diesel.
Isn't that funny? So your brand new 3/4 ton and 1 ton diesels out there. When you check the oil right now before they've been sold, is it amber colored and clean or is it black?
Well,
I know I never checked the brand.
Just like pouring it out of the bottle, it's going to have that beautiful amber color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But and to your point, Scotty, all the soot gets collected. That's that product's job, is to collect all the soot and make sure it stays within suspension so it doesn't stick to the places that it's not supposed to.
Right.
That product is.
Anyway, Ryan had a good comment, so I put it up on the screen. Holding sulfuric acid in the hand for that length of time, conversation, acid will continue to eat until it's neutralized. This power of MOA, engine oil supplement. So that's basically what it's doing. It's just neutralizing that acid as it starts.
It would keep going. Right, it would keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can tell that's what's happening there too, from that part. Now I got to figure out how to get that out of there. There we go.
There you go. Good job.
Okay.
So I'm learning the tech side that Josh is not here. Josh is off playing, having fun, which we all probably should have some fun.
Good for him.
He's not here.
What are we doing? We're just sitting here playing, like,
having fun with oils.
And stuff. Super chemist with automotive stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, the other thing about BG products is, as we switch gears here a little bit to what you're going to do here, is it's not just engine oil. It's transmission fluid. It's brake fluid. It's power steering fluid. It's differential fluids. It's transfer cases, manual transmission fluids, and all that stuff that you guys have done that testing. And Scott, I know you see this a lot too, but the BG guys come probably twice a week and grab not Ford products. They grab all of our Schrades and stuff and take them back and do keep testing. Yes. And when we were out there the other day on the dyno, I looked in there and they were working on a old Tahoe. I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing with that old thing? Well, you know what? They're still looking at that kind of tech, you know, things that's going on, because there's still a lot of those running around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were testing one of those old Tahoes out, like an 08 Tahoe, and had, you know, session of stuff on it too. So it's cool to go out there and see what they're doing. And that's what I love about BG. So lots of things I love about BG. It's right here local, but they're constantly, like anything else, is just trying to get better and make better products as these cars change and everything else too from that part. So, okay, so we're going to switch gears now to how to show not just the acid neutralization, but how we're going to, how that MOA actually really does as a bearing on a bearing in your car with that part. And I will tell you, out on different videos and stuff, I see other people doing this.
Yeah.
But they're just using engine oil.
Right.
Okay, and showing where it hits and where it doesn't hit and all kind of stuff. And then they'll throw their additive in there. Sure. And again, there's all kinds of products out there in the marketplace, right, Dale, that does all kinds of testing.
Yeah, and there's good products out there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
So the other thing I will tell you is, remember, you get what you pay for. So if you're going to step up and you're going to buy a motor oil additive for a couple bucks, you're not getting very much value built in, because there's nothing in it. They can't have anything in there for a couple bucks. Right. You get what you pay for. So more money it's that can cost you. You got to understand there's products in there that cost that money. It's not just a markup to try to make money. It's actually the products that's in there cost money to do the job correctly.
Yes. It if we want to continue to support that lab and our three fully accredited auto labs when we're testing these things, that's where the expense comes in, because we cannot let you folks down. And we want to make sure we're always bringing the A game for all the stuff that Ford and everybody else has to offer. So,
okay, real quick, here's a comment just came in too. And Dennis, it makes this a very good point.
Yes.
For every gallon of fuel burned, makes approximately 1 gallon of water. And we don't think about that water. It's condensation.
Right.
And where's it going? It goes out the exhaust sometimes, but it also ended up in your pan. Only 1/3 of the heat is used as power, and 1/3 power goes through the exhaust, and the oil cooling system dissipates the other 1/3.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing there is.
Perfect. He's totally right.
So you stop and go, you know, short drives and stuff is what's really hard on a car. As soon as you start the car, starts burning, it starts developing that condensation. But if you don't run it long enough to get it hot, it doesn't burn it out and evaporate like Dennis was saying. My real true testimony is when I was living in Hush and I'd drive back and forth every day, 50 minutes one way, highway dry, got hot and everything else like that, pull it in the garage, back it out the next morning, and guess what's running out of my tailpipe immediately?
It's smoke.
Water. Dripping away. Coming right out of there. It's already developing that kind of that water. Mm-hmm. And again, if you do those short trips, think about that 10-minute trip every day back and forth. How much condensation do you got in your oil pan?
A lot.
And what's going to start building from that part?
In the winter months, you know, if you check your oil, right there in the top of that cap, it looks a little milky white. So right to your point, I'm with you, though. I thought it was smoke at first.
I did, too. I was like, evaporation. Hey,
what's going on there? And then you see the drips of water.
Yeah. Water running out of the exhaust out of the peephole on the muffler.
Yeah. Yes. Thank goodness they did that, because before that, we rusted out
mufflers. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so now we're going to, Dale, take it away.
Okay.
I want
right on.
I'm so excited to watch this.
So folks, feel just like a brand new bearing in your engine. We've got a Timken roller bearing. And it's fashioned in this arbor. So it's just a conical shaped Timken roller bearing. Okay. Now that's going to represent our bearings in our engine. Okay.
Okay.
And we have an oil pan here, and we're going to have oil in that as well. And then just a race. So this machine is going to stress the oil. It's going to stress and bring a real environment, so to speak, right? Just painting a picture here, as long as I don't get my cord wrapped up in there. All right. So I want you to watch this, Scotty, if you would help me, because my eyes are getting old. I'm going to turn this on, and then where this thing locks up, let's take note of where the measurement's at, okay?
Okay, so first off, just oil.
Yep. I'm going to do it bare.
Bare.
Because I want to show what it's doing
when it has
a lack of oil. Okay. How many times have you seen oil go too far?
A lot.
When it goes too far, all the additive structure says, I'm going to take a nap in the pan. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. That's what you can write your name in the bottom of the oil pan when you take it off. That's what you're seeing down there is additive structure. Okay. The next thing is we got to make sure that that oil is doing its job for the full interval. So we'll see where this locks up on its own with nothing. Then we're going to put regular engine oil in this and see where it locks up there. And then we're going to put our supplement in.
Okay.
Now, folks, you know, I like to say this is a top treat for the oil because that's what it is. It's the expensive part of that bottle of oil on steroids. Okay, here we go.
Hold your ears.
Hold your ears.
That's about 35.
But let's do it twice just to make sure we're not playing games.
Yep. That's even less, actually. Oh. That was like 28.
Okay. So we'll call it 30?
Yeah.
As an average. Okay. So now I'm going to coat the bearing with 5W20 engine oil. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm just going to put that right in there. And then when it hits that bearing surface, we're going to stop. And this is now, I'm filling my crankcase up in the car. That's what I'm doing. Okay.
Okay. There it goes.
So now it's on the bearing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now we called it 30.
Yeah.
We called it 30. We split the difference. Let's see where this goes.
That's about 38.
About 38. Let's do it twice just for giggles. Okay.
That's a little bit less, 37.
Okay. So we'll call it 38. We're good there, right?
Yep.
Okay. So now I'm just going to put a little glug, technical term.
Yeah.
of our MOA in there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we were at about 38, right?
Yep.
Okay. So now, folks, we want to make sure that oil is doing its job, right?
Yep.
We have to be able to do this so that it doesn't break down during the guest's oil change interval. Mm-hmm. And then we won't have loss of oil. It stays cooler because when oil gets old, the additive structure falls out, like I said, and goes and takes a nap in the pan. The second thing that happens is oil gets thick. There goes our fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
There's parasitic drag that happens. So these are things that we experience if you go too long on engine oil.
Right.
Okay. But when you're protected with BGMOA, this is what gives me the peace of mind. Okay. Where are we at now?
We're at 45.
We're about 45. Okay.
We're at 55.
55.
Yep.
I'm going to turn red like a tomato.
Yep.
Get ready.
Yep. 65. And you touched. There's 75.
Okay. So now I'm red like a tomato. But the thing is, we made sure that the additive structure stayed there. Even though we have hot and cold soaks, running to the store, running to Walmart, getting groceries, whatever we're doing, we're always protected. To Phil's point, we had a lot of condensation that builds, right? From the gentleman that let us know that. We also have 1 to 4 pounds of byproduct that's built from the oil going bad in there.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go? It messes with emissions and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So now you would expect this was pretty bad, right? And scratchy. So now we have a little scar on there. If you take this screwdriver and just wiggle it back and forth on that, is it scratchy or is it pretty smooth?
It's pretty smooth.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I see it.
So now we've got a really smooth little divot. That's what we're doing. We're protecting that oil. Make sure it's doing its job for that full interval for the guest. And they can have confidence. If something goes wrong with this car, I'm back on the engine from lifetime protection. Okay. Just a couple of quick things.
Let's go real quick. Hold your thoughts. We got a guy been holding on the phone.
Oh,
my phone just finally updated. Thank you. So let's go to the phones. And hey, Keith, you're live. Are you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Keith. Sorry for the delay there. The phone was going through an update. I walked in this morning, turned it on. It was updating. I don't know why.
We're playing Mad Scientist, too.
Yeah, and plus we had to hold you there because we were right in the middle of all the tests and everything else, too, Keith. So how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing all right. I've been in and out of the program today, so you may have already answered this question or talked about it.
Okay.
But the fuel additive for the BG product, can you possibly add too much? Or too often?
Good question. That is a fantastic question.
I get accused of that a lot, putting too much stuff too. But
so, Keith, right?
Yeah. Keith, yes.
So, Keith, the answer is let's say you're down at a quarter of a tank and you had a massive abundance of this stuff, it might misfire.
Yeah.
But if it's in half a tank or better, you're okay. You really can't overtreat it. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you put two cans in there, like my pickup, so my long bed F-150 holds 40 gallons of gas.
Yeah.
This thing will go almost 600 miles before I have to fill up. I put two cans of the 44K in it because it needs to stay in there.
Because so, this is about 20 gallons is really what I've been told.
That's it. That's it.
So one can is good for 20 gallons. And can you put too much of it in?
Yeah. Well, what's too much, right? I've put 3 and 4 cans in there, but it is not gasoline. We're not treating a gasoline problem with gasoline. Mm-hmm. So if it does get overtreated, if there's a quarter of a tank and you were to dump 4 cans in there, it's probably not going to propel itself very well. Is it going to kill it or hurt it? Absolutely not. But it may stumble and burp and carry on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now let's go to not too much, but how often?
Yeah. So as technology just keeps advancing with our gasoline direct injected engines, they're rocket ships these days, and the displacement's a lot smaller than we've seen in the past. My 3.5 EcoBoost with that cute little twin turbos, that thing gets with it.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And just so cool. So I treat it every time I change my oil.
Yeah.
You know, with a fuel service, we're treating it every 15,000. So there's an offset there. And then some of the products, like you mentioned earlier, CF5, that's a keep clean product. So this is a cleanup product.
Right.
CF5 has like fuel stability, corrosion protection. Absolutely right. And it's a keep clean product, and it's at a fair price. So, and then there's stuff that's in every tank treat. So folks, you know, when you go through a parts store and you see Chevron Techron or something like that, that product is designed and made to be put in every single gas tank. Most people think, well, I dumped it in every once in a while, it's okay. But the concentration level makes the difference.
Yep, exactly.
So hopefully they answered your question there, Keith.
Yeah.
You sure did. I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Thanks for the question.
Home force, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I got another question on the deal, and this is Ken here. This is Tim wants to know, what'd you say about the compression check? This is this EPR can of stuff. Get that focused in there.
There you go.
And basically how that works is, and Dale, if I'm wrong, tell me if I'm wrong or whatever, as I go through this, is before you change the oil, you want to pour a can of that in, get the engine to operating temperature.
Yes.
Because it's got to have the heat in it to make that additive work. Like when I did it on the race car, I did it for 30 minutes. I think that was too long. You don't have to. There's nothing too long, but you don't have to go that long. Is what I meant.
Right.
15, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
To run it and then
1200
drain it
RPM.
Out. 1200. You don't drive it really either, right?
No. Nope.
You could, but it's probably not the best thing in the world to drive it to put it under extra stress
exactly.
That thing's cleaning.
Yes.
And like on the one I did on a race car, we set it at 1500 RPM is what I did. Let it sit there and run from that part. So. And what I'm telling you, what's amazing to me is when we do these GDI services with the EPR, we call it direct GDI. I got them losing.
Gas direct injection.
Gas direct injection.
You know
Sorry,
what it is.
I got there. I just couldn't get that spit out of my mind.
Guys, this is why I'm here. I'm just here to help.
Okay, this will be the last show for Scotty. Anyway, people, as your engines start losing that compression, it's just a gradual thing. And you don't really feel it until you clean it. And then all of a sudden, boom, people will call you back and say, oh, my God, I'm getting 3 to 4 miles better gallon. I can feel the power back.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I don't know. My opinion on GDI, I'd start putting it from the first oil change. It's already building as you start going.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've already seen, you've seen vehicles with 15,000 miles on them and they BG takes them all apart and you're just sitting there going, holy crap, this is a brand new vehicle. How
in the world
did
that get there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys took a 24 Mustang.
Yes.
Because it was brand new and took it over to test and do all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Car had 64 miles on it. Okay. This isn't just a Mustang or anything else like that, but this is just every car that's out there. It was already, because they took a scope and went down in through the intake to look, it was already at 64 miles starting to build little. They were little. But you could see that they sent me the pictures, little bits of carbon already building at 64 miles. So that's all I'm saying is it just starts going as soon as you start building it from that part.
Right. Yeah. EPA's got their hands in it, right? Ford has a tough bill when it comes to satisfying the guest, getting the horsepower, getting the miles per gallon. They have a tough bill to fill.
Yeah.
Right. And then as a young technician, I wondered, how in the world does this stuff get back up in there? There's gaskets that seal all the oil off. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? And I look over and I'm like, oh, positive crankcase ventilation. Okay. You know, back in the day when we had tractors or old Chevys or something like that, they had a road draft tube and it dripped right on the road, right?
Exactly.
We're paving the road as we go. So now complex parts and complex engines, they started to add in exhaust gas recirculation and positive crankcase ventilation.
Yep.
Now it's taken all that vapor from the old oil that says I'm not protected anymore, and it shoves it right back into the engine to reburn it again. That's where our deposits come from. So once again, folks, it's not a design flaw. It's just the oil not
burning.
It gets right back into the system.
And it goes back to the EPA. You're right. The EPA has got us to where what's coming out that tailpipe is so much regulated today. And that's where this CAFE rating, now here's my argument about that. CAFE is corporate average fuel economy that the government has said every car has to meet of every car they produce. Now, granted, heavy duty trucks and all that kind of stuff's not in the equation. But here's my problem I got with that is back in the day, mm-hmm. we were putting out so much more harmful gases coming out the tailpipe than we are today. Today, we could start that truck in 2011. They came and brought the new Super Duty to us with a 6.7 diesel. Right. It sat on the showroom floor for 8 hours running, never had an exhaust hose on it or nothing. No. So my thing is stop worrying about the CAFE ratings and making the fuel economy so high. Let's regulate what's coming out that tailpipe.
Yes.
Because that's what's really harmful to us and our environment and everything else like that is emissions coming out. Yes. Yep. So now these engines are running so clean, lock yourself in the car in the garage. It's not going to get you because it's so clean.
Yeah.
Because of how accurate we're, like you said earlier, our electronics that are controlling our fuel mixtures.
Yes.
Before we had little needles and seats and everything else controlling our fuel. Now we got electronic computers and everything sensing what to change, when to adjust it. And if you could see, Josh has said this many times on the show, if we could put a graph up on the screen and show you everything that those computers are doing going down the road, it'd blow you away what's adjusting, changing, going on.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It really is.
So that's why I wish the government or the EPA, whoever, would just stop and say, okay, this car can meet this amount of emissions. Who cares what fuel economy? Because it's going to get great fuel economy with that emissions coming out the tailpipes. They're focusing on the wrong thing. They're not up to date, right, Dale?
Yeah, that's it. And we need to make sure they're taken care of. That's the biggest thing, folks, that I could ever say is if we maintain them, they're going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If for some reason something were to happen and you've done the intervals under lifetime protection plan from BG, we got you covered. We got your back on that.
Yeah. And I've used it. I've experienced it. It's there. It's not BS.
Okay. Dennis is giving some great comments. You're coming through the line here too. And Dennis, I appreciate your comments because your comments are spot on.
Yes.
We've been talking a lot about engine oil. But again, we need to back you, Dale. We need to do more shows with you because we show the other additives and things we do.
Absolutely.
Love to have you.
Okay? Fuel
this has been fun.
Good.
So heat breaks down lubricants. Exactly.
Yes.
Correct.
In instance, in a transmission fluid life is cut in half for every 10 degrees it goes up. And that's the thing about transmission fluid. And Scotty, you know this on a service drive. I love a dab lube. I can see a sample of that fluid. When that transmission fluid is supposed to be bright red.
Yes.
As soon as it starts to turn, why is it turning? It's because of heat
and friction.
Yes.
Yeah. Heat. That's what's happened. So that fluid is breaking down. It's not lubricating that transmission. Transmissions anymore is about as expensive as an engine now.
That's definitely true.
So for every 10 degrees it goes up, 180 degrees at 100 life, 190 degrees goes from 50. So basically what he's saying, if it's running 180 degrees and it goes to 190, the life went from 100K to 50K. And I agree with that from part. So if you're towing a transmission,
mm-hmm.
with the transmission, guess what's happening when you're towing?
Oh, gosh.
There's more heat.
Friction.
So what happens to that interval of that transmission?
Yes.
And I love these manufacturers put in their lifetime service
interval. Oh, my God.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? It's so full of crap.
They don't care because guess what? It's going to make it through at 60,000 miles.
That's right. And then everybody complains is right after it hits 60,000 miles, you're at 64 and you blow a tranny. And it's like, I wonder why.
Here's the thing. When I ask engineers, I said, you got to come clean. You got to tell me, what does lifetime mean? And they said, Dale, it means the lifetime of the fluid. It's your job on your service drive to check it and let the guests know because nobody drives their cars the same.
That's right. Exactly. Just like he's saying here, too, you start towing and usually about 30 degrees, it's going to climb. And I agree with that.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So the guy could be, I could be a guy that just wants a Super Duty, but I never tow.
Right.
I got another guy that's all he's doing is towing.
Yeah.
His transmission interval for me driving all the time. It's probably 30,000-40,000 miles.
Yeah.
That guy that's towing like that, probably 10, 15, who knows?
Just like the gentleman said, the life is cut in half. Now, most of our cars have thermostatic blocks in them now and regulate the temperature. Do you know when I took ScanTool, even at work, and we look at when that thermostat opens, it doesn't open until about 176 to 180 degrees. Yeah. So it keeps that heat in there. Then it opens. Going down the road, it's usually about 210 to 230. Yeah. Okay, so Dennis, right?
Dennis, yes.
So what Dennis is spot on, and folks, what did it do to the life? It cut it in half at least.
At least.
And that was your point, right?
Yeah.
So when do we need to do these? We need to check it, and we need to get it on a schedule according to how you drive the car.
Yeah. But see, another thing, like you said, it's our job to tell the consumer when it's due for an
open. Yeah.
But the manufacturer is telling you it's a lifetime. So what are you going to believe when you read your owner's manual? It's a lifetime. I don't need to change it. Wrong answer. You can do that. That is no problem. That's back to the pay me now, pay me later.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is from that part. But again, it's just because these cars run so much longer on all these fluids that we have to look at differently. It's just like a brake fluid flush.
Yes.
My God, never in my world did my back in the day with my dad wrenching around, did we ever think about flushing a brake fluid?
Right.
But again, we got analog brakes. Yep. We got all these sensors, all these solenoids, everything running through that fluid. And what's the biggest detrimental to a brake fluid?
Water.
Water. And it's not condensation. The system is not sealed.
Yeah. I had a gentleman threatened to hit me with his cane on the service drive one day. Okay, so he's, because I asked for, you know, a brake fluid exchange. I said, sir, we got to change your brake fluid out. And he says, well, I've never had to do that before. Well, I know this gentleman. He actually was the gentleman that designed the high output 289 for Ford Motor Company.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Yerbeck. So we were good friends. He came into our dealership. We got to talk to him all the time. And he says, look, I'm not buying it. And he says, you've never had to do that to my other car. And I said, what's your other car? He had a beautiful 69 Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mr. Yerbeck, you're right. I never asked you for this before. But what we did do is we did wheel cylinders on it. Remember when they leak? He goes, yep. I said, we flushed out all the brake fluid.
You did?
We did a full exchange. So how many times do we change all the cups and seals on wheel cylinders?
That's a no diff. We would lose a wheel cylinder. So then you're putting brake pads on and everything else. But we don't do that anymore.
We were still
servicing. Have you ever put a wheel here lately? Yeah. I'm going to say last 3 years. Have you put a wheel cylinder on a brake cylinder on you? It's just how much better the seals are. So the but that doesn't change the quality of the fluid.
Right.
It's still picking up the condensation.
Yeah.
And then when you get condensation, all that is water, and it gets compressed. So guess what you get when you're under a hard brake situation?
Yeah.
Brake fade.
Brake
fade. You don't realize it till you need it. And all of a sudden that split second is all it takes to save you from getting in an accident.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I actually have a situation right now. I've got a young lady with like an older body style Escape and never had a brake flush in her entire life. And she doesn't bring to us, this is her first time coming, and it turns out it's because of the condensation, she's collapsed both front brake hoses.
Yeah.
So now that is legitimately turned in from a $120 service
right
now into, well, now you're replacing both brake hoses, both calipers, pads, and rotors. And so that just
turned into four times the repair.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right. So anyway, we could sit here and talk for hours. I promise.
I really could.
Yes.
So, and we're running out of time. I hate to tell you that, Dale, but
you're good.
You need to come back as often as you want.
Oh, it's
come
a pleasure.
Back with more demonstrations.
I will.
From this part, BG is a great partnership with Mel Hamilton Ford.
We appreciate you.
We do. There's some exciting new things coming from Ford with BG, which is, I've been behind the scenes with that a little bit, kind of tease you a little bit. There's some exciting stuff coming down the pike, which I can't wait. So once we get that announced, you're going to have to come back or bring everybody back. We can get on this thing to talk about that situation when it does finally get inked on the line and everything else too. So, but we could talk about all these products and everything else too. Again, I've used them since the mid 80s. And had great success. And I was just like Dale. I remember the first time the BG guy came into my shop there in Topeka. I'm thinking, who's this yahoo? What snake oil does he got?
Yeah.
That's going to help me fix cars.
Keep and the
first thing I did was that 44K and it's helped me fix cars. And it just took off from there. But there's so many products we can talk about too. We can run out of, except we'd be here till 5 o'clock talking about everything we can talk about and we'd bore everybody from that part. So anyway, Dale, thank you again for taking the time to come see us. Thanks for inviting me out there so I can see and learn again from that part.
Thanks for coming. We can all learn from each other.
Sure can. So anyway, BG products, great partnership here with Mel Hamilton Ford. Everybody, we're running out of time. Thanks for everybody watching, listening. It's been a great show, and we're going to have Dale back a couple more times and different things and products and stuff. So hang tight, and you'll see what these products do. When you come on our service drive, get with Scotty, get one of our service advisors, sit down, get you a plan for your driving habits. Like Dale said, everybody drives differently, and let us help you protect your car, make it run many, many more miles, pay a little bit now.
Yes.
Save a lot of bills down the road. And Josh and I talked about that last week.
Yes.
Every day we walk in that shop and we see repairs getting happening. If there had been some preventative maintenance, that big repair wouldn't be happening. So
that's right.
Anyway, again, Dale, thank you.
My pleasure.
As always.
Pleasure.
Thank you for having
us. Scotty, thank you for
taking the time here this Saturday morning. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great Saturday. It's a beautiful weather out there. We'll talk to you next Saturday, 9 o'clock.